Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Pearl Global Industries Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be no opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallab Banerjee, Managing Director, Pearl Global Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I welcome everyone to our Q2 and H1 of financial year 2024 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope all of you have gone through our investor presentations uploaded on the exchange and our company website. I'm happy to state that our H1 financial year 2024 revenue is better and has seen a formidable growth as compared to the previous years. This growth is attributed to the improved performance in Bangladesh and Vietnam operations. The demand scenario in the U.S. still remains muted, with the retailers liquidating their inventory during this holiday 2023 season and controlling their new purchases for spring-summer of 2024 seasons at this moment. This could pose a short-term dent in the demand, thus leading to a comparatively muted growth in the second half of our year. However, our multinational presence, both for the manufacturing and sales, our diversified product offering, robust design, and strong customer relationships has put us in a better position globally, making us a preferred vendor to most of these customers. Our new manufacturing setup in Central America and relationships with the existing and prospective strategic customers will help further in our growth trajectory. The overall long-term industry prospects look positive, with the possibility of U.K. and European Union FTA with India and the extension of the RoCTL scheme for the post-March 2024 period. This should boost the Indian exports for the garment and textile industry. Overall, Pearl Global has also been able to offset the impact of this demand slowdown because of the business, which has been rerouted from China under the China Plus One policy, followed by the large brands and the retailers across the globe. Our company has finalized a dividend policy wherein we will be declaring a dividend of at least 20% of the consolidated profit after tax in a given year to our shareholders. The board of directors of the company have declared a second interim dividend, which is also a special dividend of 12.50 rupees per equity share for financial year 2024, considering the continuous improvement in the business of the entire group over the last few quarters. On another hand, ICRA has upgraded our long-term and short-term credit rating from ICRA BBB+ to ICRA A-, and from ICRA A2 to ICRA A2+. The rating upgrade factors in the consistent healthy performance of Pearl Global over the last two years, despite the evolving demand slowdown in the U.S. market or other key markets. And also, amongst the in between the inflationary pressure, which is affecting the discretionary spending of our customers. With this backdrop of global macro challenges, we are focused on the geographical diversity in our customer base, and we feel that this should help us to maintain our overall business share and the operational efficiencies that we strive for. Bangladesh as a country has their wage revision. Their wage board has proposed an increase in their minimum wage. This happens once in 5 years. The country is due for elections in January 2024. So there is a condition of protests which is creating some disruptions at various locations of Dhaka. While three of our factories had no disruption and working smoothly, one of the location where one of our factories is located, we are seeing some protests. It continues to work, but we did let go of our workers on certain days or declare a closure on a few days if there is a concern of safety of our workers. So that's the update from my side. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, our group CFO, who will run us through the financial performance of the company. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Pallav. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Quarter 2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. Coming to the financial and operational performance of the company, we have reported the highest ever H1 performance. Like Pallav had already mentioned that to mark our continuous improvement in performance, we have announced a special dividend of ₹12.50 per share, which is 125% of the face value. This will amount to a total cash payout of approximately 27 crore. We have received a total dividend, approximately 10 crore, from our overseas subsidiaries, which is being used to pay out this special dividend as well. On a consolidated basis, H1 FY24 revenue grew 8% year-on-year to ₹1854.8 crore on account of better product mix owing to strong order book for outerwear products, improved capacity utilization in Vietnam and Bangladesh. H1 FY24 include revenue of ₹72 crore from integration of Alpha, which was not part of consolidation in H1 FY23. Adjusted EBITDA margin, excluding ESOP expenses, stood at 8.8% for H1 FY24, which was 180 bps higher year-on-year. ESOP expenses for H1 FY24 stood at ₹2.9 crore. H1 FY23 had no ESOP expenses. Finance cost for H1 FY24 increased from ₹31.3 crore in H1 FY23 to ₹43.5 crore in H1 FY24 on account of increase in factoring cost for receivable financing. PAT for H1 FY24 stood at ₹86.3 crore versus ₹62.3 in H1 FY23. EPS was ₹40.5 in H1 FY24 versus ₹27.5 in H1 FY23. For quarter 2 FY24, our consolidated revenue grew 12% year-on-year to ₹960.6 crore from ₹860.3 crore in quarter 2 FY23. Adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 8.3%, which was 220 bps higher year-on-year. PAT grew 51% from ₹25.9 crore in quarter 2 FY23 to ₹39 crore in quarter 2 FY24. On a standalone basis, revenue for H1 FY24 stood at ₹476 crore versus ₹628.4 crore in H1 FY23, a decline of 24% year-on-year. This was on account of shifting of sale for customer to competitive location like Bangladesh. This helped us increase our revenue in Bangladesh owing to our multinational presence. And the overall impact is neutral from the group revenue perspective. The revenue were also impacted by reduced demand from few customers owing to weak demand environment. We are in discussion to add 2-3 strategy customers in India. Adjusted EBITDA margin for H1 FY24 stood at 6.2% versus 6.1% in H1 FY23. PAT stood at ₹12.8 crore versus ₹23.6 crore. For quarter 2 FY24, revenue dropped 23% year-on-year to ₹218.5 crore versus ₹300.5 crore. Adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 4.2% and PAT was at ₹1.2 crore. Our strong performance is reflected with our strengthening balance sheet. On a consolidated basis, our net worth as of September 23 stood at rupees 753 crore. Gross debt declined to rupees 374 crore versus rupees 448 crore as on March 23. Net gearing ratio improved to 0.04 times from 0.21 times as on FY23. Return on capital employed calculated on TTM basis stood at 30.8%. Margin money earmarked as LC payment is excluded from capital employed calculation. Net working capital days on TTM basis, trailing 12-month basis, stood at 13 days. Receivables stood at 30 days. Inventory days were 33. Payable days were 50 as of September 23. On the capital expenditure side, our CapEx plan across geographies for the FY23 is approximately 120 crore plus. Out of this 120 crore plus, 50% is for capacity enhancement, 40% is for upgradation, and 10% is towards the maintenance. Already incurred capex is around 60 crore, where capacity is 45%, upgradation 45%, and maintenance 10%. Thank you. We shall now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is in the line of Keshav from Raksans Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Sir, firstly, what has led to the inventories correcting so much between March and end this quarter?
So, I would like take up this question, Pallav. So, inventory has reduced. So, if you look at outerwear segment, you know, for Vietnam, largely, most of the shipments are for fall and winter order, which gets completed by September end. By June, we start building the inventory from April and May onward. All the inventory gets liquidated by end of September for overseas operations like Vietnam. Especially, and also in Bangladesh, there have been a shipment which were really expedited at the behest of the customer, and that has resulted in the inventory liquidation, overseas operation. In India, there has been there is a lower inventory in line with the revenue reduction, which has been there around 25% in quarter on quarter.
So is it in any way indicative of a slowdown in the coming quarters?
No. I think what Sanjay just explained is that the seasonality of the business that we have, especially for the outerwear, which is a high-value item, and that's what it is produced. I think most of the production of outerwear starts in our Vietnam operation. We have seen that it starts building up from February end onwards slowly. And most of the major shipment is shipped out in the first quarter and the second quarter of the year. So that's one of the impact that we will see every year from that part of the business. And the second one, again, which what happened last year, we were holding certain inventory at the request of the customer to be shipped out this year because there was an over-inventory situation with the customers last year. So that also is something that you have seen that has moved out from the Bangladesh. These are the two examples which you just mentioned. We are not seeing this inventory coming down because of the slowdown of the business. There has been a few months in countries like India where we faced a little bit of slow in terms of our sales and production in the month of at the end of this quarter, like September was a little affected, but that's not resulting in a big drop in the inventory, I would say.
Okay, and sir, lastly, the muted growth we've spoken of in the coming quarters, can you talk a bit more about what kind of a hit we are foreseeing in H2?
We as a company built up all the strategies for year-on-year growth of at least 15%-20%, and that's the trajectory that we would like to follow. But what has happened in this kind of last year, this year, the kind of major macro factors that we have seen, whether because of war, slowing down of the economies in certain parts, the high inflation resulting in the discretionary spending getting reduced. So those are the things that we are seeing an impact because of which we are not able to grow at that rate. So far, for the H1, we are still maintaining almost about 7-8% of growth that you have seen, which we would like to maintain in the second half as well. But yes, it's the situation is not that good that we can cover up in the next year, next part of the year, and get to our target of 15% plus. So that's what we are seeing at a macro level. Strategy-wise, what we have done is we have looked into the various diversification of our customer base, and whatever, you know, the strategic customers who give us some kind of forecast on the long term. So when we see certain drop in that numbers, we immediately work on the second tier or the third tier of the customer segmentation that we have created in our pyramid, and start approaching them to push for that extra growth of the business that is required for our growth. This also included some new inclusion of customers. And this particular year, my focus has been outside of USA as well. That means Japan, Australia, or European market, which where our exposure was low. So we are definitely increasing our exposure in those markets as well. So in a way, that compensates for the decline that we would see from our existing customers of US, if I can compensate with the numbers from the other locations. So that has so far worked pretty well for us, and I foresee that same would continue for the second half of the year. Once again, like, I don't expect to get back to that 15%, but most probably we'll end the year either flat or a little bit of up, as we have said. Between 5% to 8%. Let's see how we can close this year.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side, and a very happy Diwali to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and congrats on a great first half numbers, where most of the other listed players had shown some decline. I'm kind of surprised at the commentary, because now we are hearing most of the people saying that, you know, inventories at the larger retailers have already been depleted, and they are seeing much better demand going ahead in second half. So why is our commentary different from the other two, three listed players?
So how we are seeing the market, especially like if I talk of US, where there was an inventory situation. So most of the retailers were placing almost 30 or 30% plus less business on the last couple of quarters. Now what we are seeing is that they are definitely increasing from that, I would say, from a minus 30-35 range. They are coming out to a minus 10, minus 15 range. Why this is happening? Everybody is conservative at this point of time. They're not going gung-ho and ordering more or compensating the drop in inventory and immediately going for a higher inventory. No, they are not doing that. They are keeping certain part of their margin or a certain part of their money budget for reacting in the season, how the market would be and how much and what inventory that they would be bringing in. Certain budget have been reallocated to the nearshoring as well. So this is the two definite trend that we have seen in most of our US retailers. So that's one of the reasons that we are, when we say this, this is what we consider and saying.
Right. So when they were ordering 30% lesser odd previously, you had delivered revenues in the first half broadly, 900 to 950 crores on a quarterly basis, in that range. Now they are ordering from less than 30% to, you're saying, now 15%. So it's a better situation relatively. Therefore,
yes, sure.
Maintaining the range that you have already delivered in the first half on a quarterly basis, is that something that will be tough for you? in the second half?
No, I think what we have, if you see, like, you know, from a growth target that we had of 15% plus, we are less. So that's where, like, you know, my benchmark is more from there. When I say that, okay, we will be maintaining the kind of numbers that we are doing now, that similarity or parity between the last year H2 and this year H2, that's something we are confident of maintaining.
No, sir, though, why I'm checking that is because last year H2 is a much softer base. You had H2 was hardly 750 to 800 crores of top line. Now, if you were to maintain your first half quarterly base of 900-950 crores, there's a significant growth in second half implied of 20-25%. So unless you're saying that, you know, that there's a certain seasonality which is adverse in the business in second half, because my understanding was second half is usually better for us, then I'm just a bit confused on this. What is the range that we're talking about in terms of revenues?
Compared to last year, I'm saying that, okay, see, one was what were the total base of last year. Compared to that, if I have to mention any number, then I am at this point of time forecasting a similar number for this current year with a very minor upward, which will be maybe like, you know, 5 to 7%. So that is something that we are still maintaining. Yes, the first year benefit, first half benefit that you have seen, second half, like, you know, the first 3 months, we have already, like, at this point of time, we have all the numbers and we are seeing that. And the second, that means quarter four booking is currently happening. So, yes, overall, definitely it's a positive compared to what we had seen earlier. But just to say at this point of time, confidently that it will be a 15% plus, I don't see that confidence in the market as of yet.
Okay. And in terms of margins, I mean, there's been a substantial difference in first quarter versus second quarter. Last three quarters, you've delivered gross margins of 49 to 51% odd, and sometimes even 53. But there's a sharp drop to 44% odd margins, gross margins this quarter. What has led to that?
See, one of the thing is that as soon as the market becomes soft, there is definitely an overcapacity situation. So the price is definitely it becomes the buyers can negotiate much more. So that one effect definitely comes in, and the other would be the various other macro factors that we are continuing to see, how the inflation and other things that will continue to affect us. Both some of the region, like for example Bangladesh, the wage revision would be happening or is happening at this point of time. In India also, like, we are seeing the dollar advantage that normally would come year after year. Like, at this point of time, we had seen a slowdown on that. So those are the effects of macro factors will continue to happen.
Just to add, on the margin front, just to add on, quarter two FY23 was 45.8%, and quarter two FY24 is 44.6%. I think our comparison, which we have been always mentioning, is that has to be on a year-on-year. The sequential quarter is not something to compare because the product mix, the customer mix get changed. And with that, therefore, the quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year is a much better comparison than other thing. If you look at EBITDA also, the last year quarter to FY23 was 6.1% and now they are reached 8.3%. So almost 50% improvement in EBITDA margin. So we are maintaining that what Pallav just mentioned about the year-on-year quarter comparison. Even this year, we will continue to show the improvement for the rest of the year as well. Overall, what we have given the guidelines in the beginning of the financial year, that our revenue will be neutral or 5%. We are saying now the revenue may be in the increase in the 5 to 10%. At the bottom line, what we have achieved, we said 8.1% what we achieved last year full year. We'll improve on that. But we definitely said, despite the macro challenges, we will maintain at least and will improve on. Trend as of now shows that we will improve it and will continue to improve on that as we head into the H2 and the next year.
Understood. Just last question. I mean, on the finance cost, I mean, we have 374 crores of debt, but we're also holding some 330-odd crores of cash. I'm just trying to understand your cash management policy. Why are we giving almost 88 crores of finance cost, which is a sizable amount of your PBT, when you can pay back the debt?
Sure. Absolutely. I think the two, three aspects of this question, what you mentioned about, first is on the finance cost. See, finance cost comprises the three components. One is the interest on term loan, then interest on the working capital, and then there is a factoring cost. Now, interest, we know across the board, across geography, the interest on term loan has increased. Long-term term loan, when I say term loan, it's long-term loan, has increased, and that has impacted the finance cost across geography and across industries also. The second part is on the working capital. In short-term working capital has also interest increased. However, because of our cash realization, we have kept the debt level to a significantly low. Overall debt has come down short-term by 88 odd crores. In line with our liquidity which has come in, so we have kept the debt at a low level. So the increase in interest cost has to some extent has been offsetted by a reduction in the debt level. So that has been the second aspect. Third is on the factoring cost. Now, in line with our strategy of de-risking ourselves from the credit exposure, we know very well there are challenges which retailers in US are facing. So, and then we are able to get a non-recourse financing to de-risk us from the receivable risk, and also to add to the liquidity, we are not stopping any non-recourse financing program despite the cost increase by 3-3.5%. So that is the major chunk which is sitting in a finance cost and leading to increasing cost. So despite our, even if we bring the debt to zero level, the finance cost on the receivable will keep on increasing there, because we would like to have the receivable kept at a low level to maintain our working capital position. The fourth, you mentioned about the cash management policy. See, we have a plan about capital expenditure, which I just mentioned in my opening commentary. And these CapEx plans are ongoing, and then there are evaluation also which keeps happening towards the growth of the company. Third, we have also framed the dividend policy, which mentioned very clearly 20% of the PAT will be declared as a dividend. In line with that, there is a dividend which is getting declared. So we are allocating cash and the capital in line with the dividend policy, in the growth policy, and also on the looking at an opportunity for the inorganic, as and when it materializes, we would looking all those options as well.
Got it. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue for more.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank the you next question is from the line of Priyana Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question was related to the geographical mix of revenue. With respect to manufacturing locations, your India exposure is coming down. Do you see why is it coming down? Why did you, do you mention that, you know, in you have moved some orders to more competitive locations than India? Just trying to understand that comment.
So you see, like, you know, if we talk of how our business is, we are in five different locations of manufacturing. And depending on the customer's need and on certain product, like where we can produce much more competitively. So we took that decision. Last year, we had certain product that we had made in India, where this year we found that if we do out of another location like Bangladesh, we could get a benefit. So those are the decisions that we'll continue to take in future as well. So that's the advantage that the infrastructure at Pearl that we have. It does benefit our customers as well as our own strategies as well. But that doesn't mean that India numbers would continue to go down or India business is not on priority. We do have plans for India, and we are marching ahead quite solidly on that path, I would say.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. The second question on your customer mix. Today, how much would be top 5%, top five customers contribute to your top line? And how has the new client addition ramped up over the last one and a half years for you? And do we see this slowdown that you have mentioned largely because of existing customers or something and new customers are making up for it? Or is it that new and old customers are relatively facing hiccups on inventory management across the board?
So you see, the fluctuation of demand or the inventory situation that happened I think it majorly affected the US market in the last 1 year. Of course, during the pandemic, I think all the markets were affected, but immediately after the pandemic, US had definitely been very aggressive in terms of their buying because the consumer trend was definitely higher immediately after the pandemic. Now, that has slowed down since 2022, I would say, and that resulted in some kind of over-inventory situation in the U.S., so which I think is now getting corrected. Most of the extra inventory that the U.S. retailers had would be consumed in this holiday season, which is this October, November, December of sales. So going forward, I don't see much of over-inventory situation in any of the U.S. retailers. Compared to that, the other markets, that is what we have seen in 2022 and 23, that markets like Japan, Australia, they were like absolutely slow earlier, so that picked up momentum. Europe has been stable. Immediately after the war, definitely there was a decline of about 24-25%, but now they have been more or less stable. Year on year, if you look at the imports that most of these countries have done over the month of July, August, September, we see a decline. So that shows the conservatism that is there in terms of their buying plans. So that led us to correct our own strategies, and whatever decline that we could forecast or receive the forecast from our existing top clients, we are trying to compensate that by going into other regions or pushing certain other regions where our exposure has been low. So that's how like we are compensating in terms of our own strategy. One part of your question you had asked is
top five customers contribution.
Top five customers contribution continues to be more than 70% in our organization as of now. But you see, like top five customers means like much more strategic relationship for us, and that's why like we continue to get some kind of visibility of their buying pattern or their buying budgets over the next few quarters. So that helped us to plan our strategies accordingly.
Okay. And how is the FTA country that we signed, so India signed FTA with Australia and UAE. So how is our exposure in improving, in declining? I mean, how is our exposure to those countries, and how is the demand that you're facing from that those particular regions?
So, Australia is definitely a focus, but compared to US, it's much smaller market. So even like, you know, if a customer who we had added last year, if that customer, even it grows by 200 or 300%, the number would be quite insignificant compared to when we talk of the US market. But yes, we are seeing considerable growth and a lot of energy and focus in the Australia market. In Japan also, we have seen the same. Europe also, we are seeing some increase. UK, where like we have an FTA which might come in way sooner than later. So there, in that market, we are seeing a good traction at this point of time. We have been doing a lot of business for Europe and UK through our Bangladesh operation. So now we can see that there's a renewed interest from those customers for India production. So that definitely is benefiting us.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. And just asking the last question on receivable days. We've seen receivable days increasing for you this half. What would be the key reason for the same, and will it normalize back to lower levels?
Receivable days are 30 days in H1. I mean, if you look at historically, it has been around 49, 50 days. So I think it will remain around 35 days.
Okay, this is normal. There is no customer saying that we would want to repay a little later with this.
No,
it's at the customer end.
Yeah, it's normally done. Between 25 to 35 days is we expect to move over it.
Okay.
So that's because of also the factoring that we are doing. Because most of our receivables are definitely factored.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Happy Diwali to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Gajaria from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So, just wanted some clarity.
Mr. Gajaria, your audio is sounding very muffled. May we request that you use the handset mode while speaking and not the speakerphone?
Yeah, I am on the handset mode.
Am I audible now? No, sir, your audio is not clear.
Just a second. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nishit Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dhruv here. Hi, Sanjay Pallab. Congratulations on a really good set of numbers. My first question is on your capacity in Guatemala. When is that plan to commission?
No, we are shipping from Guatemala already.
But
we have already shipped to our customers. So that's operational.
We were putting a new line, right, there?
We took over a plant, a small plant, which was running a few lines, and
right.
We are adding more capacity to that factory. So that's we are doing in stages, in three stages.
Okay. And my second.
So that commissioning already, like, you know, our customers, like, you know, premium customers that we have bought in, so that we have started shipping from Guatemala. Yes, like to break even and to generate more revenue over a period of next 1 to 2 years. So we have that plan. We are increasing the number of lines in phases, and that thing will continue to grow. The plan will continue to grow.
Right. My second question is, what kind of margin hit do you envisage because of the wage hike in Bangladesh? Because what we hear is probably there will be a 40% hike, and considering Bangladesh is your, you ship almost 45 million pieces per annum, which is your largest in terms of capacity, what kind of margin hit do you guys envisage because of that?
Impact would be definitely more than 40%. So I think the wage board has recommended about a 56% hike, I think as recent as yesterday. And there are the election is happening this particular, like I think by January, we'll see the election in Bangladesh. So at this point of time, it's a perfect condition for a lot of protests and all happening, where the workers or certain unions are saying that we need much more. And of course, like what we are seeing is about 56% as of now, which is being talked about. That would also get some kind of compensation from other advantages, like, you know, the dollar rate has been advantageous for us. That's something we'll compensate to a certain extent. We are definitely modernizing and putting more automation and other things to compensate even further. And as you see, like, you know, the kind of factories that we are running there, talking or servicing the clients that are in our portfolio, we do pay wages which are much higher than the minimum wage. So the impact of minimum wage may not in that certain percentage will impact us. But yes, there would be a net impact in terms of our wage portion. We forecast it to go up around 15% definitely. Now, this 15%, how does it get compensated? One would be dollar advantage, second would be more efficiency and productivity through automation and other benefits we would like to bring in into the production. And net impact in terms of numbers, Sanjay, what would be the right number which you can say as of now, between 1% to 2%?
Yeah, you're right, Pallab. You mentioned clearly that though the increase which is pronounced by the wage department in Bangladesh is around 56% to 1,200-1,500 taka from as against existing 8,000 for all the entry, even the new entry level. For us, the many of the tailors, skilled labor are already in range of that or slightly exceeding. So the wage bill per se may increase 15% to 20%. The as a percentage of the turnover, it will have around 1.25%, which will get mitigated with the devaluation of Bangladesh taka, which is already expected around 8 to 10% more from where we are right now. And then the productivity and automation process which we have done to really will also compensate part of it. And there will be certain renewable, sustainable initiative which have been, for which the capex has already been incurred, that will bring in saving in energy consumption, and that should help also in offsetting this increase. And plus, of course, there will be negotiation and discussion about with the vendor, with the buyer, to really look at that. So as of now, you know, these are the mitigation measures we have. We see that challenges, we see that disruption, but yes, the overall, the strategy to counter that is also in place to ensure that our margins in absolute terms are really not impacted to a great extent. There may be small impact, but we don't see, we think we have a strategy in place to really address that, and we should be able to implement that.
Sanjay, we had a vision to reach the double digit margin. So when do we achieve that? Is it delayed by a couple of quarters because of this? Can we say that?
So Dhruv, if you see the current quarter performance as well, from a 6.1 we reached 8.3%. The first, right, our point was that we should, once we have achieved last year 8.1%, our endeavor was to make it sustainable in excess of 8%. I think to a large extent this year we are on course to achieve that. We should end the year in more than 8.1% plus. Now, definitely the target is to reach to a double-digit EBITDA. I think with the next year coming in, with all the demand, macroeconomic environment getting stabilized, I think it should be possible for us to reach that number sooner. So I don't say which quarter onward, but definitely I think we are optimistic of achieving it in FY 24-25, and let's see how quarter four of this year goes. The quarter four normally is when the demand really picks up, and we should have the really good summer and spring season, and that should also define our trajectory or approach towards double-digit EBITDA.
And Palab, just to emphasize on this Bangladesh issue, is your muted guidance for the second half, particularly Q3, coming from the extent that there is some disruption in Bangladesh?
This Bangladesh disruption may continue for November-December period because of the election. But let's see, so far, we don't have any backlog or any backup that is needed. So far, things have been quite under control. But yes, what we are hearing is that there are protests in some areas. There have some workers got killed during these protests and all. So that, I think, as a third world country, and what we have seen in the earlier years of wage revision and elections. So not very unusual as of yet. But yes, I won't say that my conservative approach is only because of Bangladesh. I would say that these are things of something like which we can forecast. In our business, certain things that we should be able to, when we foresee something, then the whole approach is to what are the strategies that we have to put in place so that we can mitigate those risks or those things that we can forecast. Major thing is what's happening in the macro world, I would say. We had an earlier one war which was going on. Now the second war has started. That definitely gives certain amount of conservatism when we speak to our customers and the consumer sentiment. Also, it's quite contradictory at this point of time. The last quarter, U.S. underwent a 4.9% jump in their GDP, which was unprecedented. Nobody expected that. Still, if you look at most of the CEOs or other management of any company, nobody is very, very upbeat about, with that kind of number. People should be in a very high position at this point of time, I would say. So that's something we are not seeing as of yet. I have been interacting with the customers very, very closely. And in fact, this particular year, I have put in that extra effort to be really close to all our customers, top management, so that we know exactly what's happening. So my conservatism is more from that angle. So yes, definitely things what we discussed with Pulkit, things have improved in terms of inventory. People are looking for growth in business at this point of time. But yes, like whether we are completely in the green area as of now, like we had in some part of 21-22, I am not seeing that positivity in the market as of yet. So naturally, like we have to make sure that our strategy is, you know, securely in place, and we continue to march with our objectives that we have, and something like which we can control very well. So that's why the kind of numbers that we are showing as of now.
Right. And just my last question on Guatemala, in terms of productivity, how do you compare them with the likes of Vietnam, Bangladesh and India?
Very similar to Vietnam.
Okay.
Because if you talk of productivity and the wage, both, because it's not a cheap country. The wages of the workers are similar to Vietnam. The productivity and skill, what I'm seeing is compared to Vietnam. The scale is not as big as Vietnam. The total sales of that country, so our total exports, is in the range of $2 billion to $2.5 billion. So otherwise, it's very similar at a smaller scale.
Got it. Thank you for answering all my questions, and all the best for future quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Varun Gajaria from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Varun. Please proceed.
Because the last time around, there was some problem in the line. So anyway, just wanted to track back. What are our CAPEX plans right now, in case I've missed it so far? Do we have any CAPEX lined up now? Now that we will be executing our Guatemala lines in the next few quarters, and
so at a group level, we are looking at a CAPEX in excess of 120 crore plus, which is planned for financial year 24 across geographies. Like in Indonesia, we have already incurred the 100% of the CAPEX. Guatemala, 40% of the CAPEX has already been incurred. In Bangladesh, around 70% of the CAPEX has been incurred. In India, there is a facility expansion, capacity expansion, which is happening in Chennai factory. That is also undergoing. I mean, there is only 15-20% we have done so far. So this is about the CAPEX plan we have. So CAPEX will have three components, which I mentioned earlier. One is for the capacity expansion. Almost 55% of this amount is for the capacity expansion, which should start generating revenue from next financial year. Gradually, it will calibrate. By the end of the next financial year, it will reach it. It should reach it good capacity utilization level. Then there is a upgradation facility. Now, upgradation also include the CAPEX which is incurred for the sustainability and automation of automation of the machinery at different location, a different factory. Third is on the maintenance CAPEX, which is like machines are getting old and it need to be replaced, and some repair and maintenance which has to be carried out, and leasehold improvement in various location. So these three parts are there on the CAPEX part.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Gajaria. We are unable to hear you.
I'm audible.
Sir, your audio is breaking up. Mr. Gajaria, your audio is breaking up.
Just give me 1 second. Yeah, I'm audible now.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can I get a split of the CAPEX then in each of the regions at least?
Sorry, I...
That is pending.
CAPEX which is pending?
Yeah, in the pending 120 crores of CAPEX in FY24, right? So, and in each of the regions, around 40% in Guatemala, 70% done in Bangladesh. So, can I get a split of how much we are doing in every region, or how much is pending in every region?
I would like to just mention it that, you know, out of this, around 55-60% CAPEX has already been incurred. 40-45% will be incurred in the rest of the year. And different geographies will have a different stage of completion. Indonesia is already done. Guatemala is 50%. Bangladesh, there are one factory which everything is done. Another factory has 30% completion, which is a more of a capacity expansion by 25-30%. In India, also there is a capacity expansion which is taking place, and then plus there is a automation of the machinery and maintenance capex. So automation and maintenance is already incurred. On the capacity expansion is what I mentioned, about 20% is what we have already incurred. 80% will be incurred in the rest of the year.
Okay, and with US expecting US to come back in FY25, what is the order book, or at least the revenues that you're expecting from the Guatemala facility now that there's a shift in nearshoring also? So how is that panning out?
Yeah, so in our filing, when we declared this acquisition joint venture in Guatemala, we mentioned in 2 to 3 year time period, it has the potential to reach $20 to $25 million. We are on course to in that trajectory only. We are still maintaining those guidelines, and I think we should be able to achieve that.
Right. Okay. Any challenges that you are facing in Vietnam right now, or that's still strong? That's still okay. In terms of demand or wages for that.
For us, like, we have strategized for every location in terms of our capacity fulfillment, and that I think we are strongly marching. So when I'm talking about a conservative approach of the global market, we are not saying that we are underbooked or we have a dearth of orders at this point of time. What we're talking about is the growth. We had in recent past, we have shown that in the year-on-year growth has been like as high as 70-80% also. So this is not that year that we are talking about as of now. Our growth would be limited to maybe between 5-7% on an annual basis. From each region, I think we are strongly on path in terms of the strategy that we have and the capacity that we have. We are quite confident of fulfilling those capacities, whether it's Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, and Guatemala. Guatemala is still insignificant, as you can understand from Sanjay's numbers.
Yeah.
So it's still small, but yeah, it will be over the next 2 years, it will become more and more important, as you will see.
Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. We'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequin Invest. The current participant has placed the call on hold. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our team or SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on the call.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pearl Global Industries, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.